Welcome to Pediatric Insight, where we have candid conversations with members of the Child Health Advisory Council and some of the nation's top academic child health leaders. I am Wesley Milliken, CEO of Career Physician, and your host. Each conversation addresses a leadership challenge or opportunity that's top of mind for today's pediatric leaders. The council breaks it down based on the wisdom and experience obtained throughout their distinguished careers. And now, I'm honored to turn it over to the moderator in today's conversation.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pediatric Insight. My name is Craig Hellemeyer. The council members joining us today are Christine Gleason, Valerie Opapari, Bob Sawin, Bruder Stapleton, and Arnie Strauss. Today's topic is a very interesting one entitled Personal Succession Planning, the Right Time to Transition from My Leadership Role. We're going to be discussing some of the principles and values that we think are very important to hold to as one thinks about transitioning from your leadership role and trying to determine what's best for yourself and what's best for the organization.
This is something that all of us as a leader, whether it's at the division level, the department level, within the college, or within the health system, as we've taken a leadership role, We all begin to fulfill that servant leader mentality, you know, making decisions that really benefit the organization and the people that we work with. The transition from a leadership role certainly plays, that's an important part of it. You know, how is it going to benefit the organization from me to move out of that leadership role? But it's also a very personal decision. And probably impacts you as an individual more than almost any other decision you've made during your leadership role. And hopefully during today's talk, we'll get some suggestions on some principles or guidelines to look at during your tenure as a leader that will help you transition to that leadership role. One of the first things I think that we'd like to talk about is maybe what is it that made you feel that this was the right time for you to think about making that transition from a leadership role? And I don't know, Arnie, if you have any thoughts on that you might want to share.
Sure. Thank you, Greg. As you mentioned, I think there are two aspects to making this decision. One is personal. So where is the family situation? Where are you in your health situation as an individual? But from the professional level, what I found was that the amount of time and the accomplishments that had happened during my leadership tenures sort of dictated a good time to transition. We had recruited strong leadership at the divisional level, the finances were stable, and it was a stable situation so that the transition would have enough time to occur and no crises would impede the recruitment of a new leader. So I think where the organization stands is very important. I also was influenced by past experiences and watching people who had been my bosses stay too long and knowing that getting old and impeding the progress of people under you suggests that there's a right time to move on. So those were the two or three things that influenced my timing of my decision.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting observation, Arnie. The fact that you've been able to be in a leadership position for a long time doesn't necessarily mean that's the best thing for the organization or that you've been a successful leader. It probably means that you've been able to be successful in retaining that position, but not necessarily that you've been that effective in that position. Really good point. Bruder, did you have any thoughts on that? What are the sort of things that made you feel that it was, or that people might feel it's the right time to make a transition?
My thinking about transitioning came about because I'd had a position for quite a long time that I wanted to leave when I wasn't leaving a lot of problems for my successor. So I had thought about it for some time, and I felt like for the organization, it was healthy to have a new leader with new ideas after a long period of my leadership. Secondly, that I wasn't leaving major problems for my successor. I did try to solve one problem that I wasn't successful with, but eventually, it wasn't necessarily because the circumstances just wasn't possible to solve it, but the stage was set for an ultimate solution. And I really, as I was recruiting, felt that it was important to have a chair that was closer to the age of the people we were recruiting, that the new people could personally relate to in a way that was trusted, that the leader had been through their experiences and values, and not generations above that didn't really understand. And I mean, I felt like I had great relationships with as many of the faculty as I could and did, but it was important for me that the leader be someone that the faculty felt that recognized their issues as they traverse difficult situations. And then I thought it was important to have an exit plan to give me some activities that were going to give me purpose following my retirement. That helped a lot, even though you never know what the future holds.
So, you know, Bob, you've had a lot of experience in coaching. And one of the things that I've been impressed with in my career, the opportunities that I've had in leadership, the coaching that I often received at the beginning of a leadership tenure is to have mileposts along the way in which you stop and think, you know, what have I done? What do I have the ability to do in the future at this point in time? I'd be interested, Bob, if you've seen other things like that people have found helpful in evaluating their leadership and not just waiting until they're feeling like, oh, now it's the time, but maybe along the way, what are some of the things that one can do to try and help make that decision?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Several of the comments that have been made by Arnie and Bruder resonated with me. As a coach, one of my goals is to try to help a leader evolve and to develop and, you know, work on things that she or he could do a better job of. For me personally, I got to the point where I thought I've tried to adapt and change and learn, and yet I think the organization is at a point where a different kind of leader is needed. And that took a lot of self-reflection on my part. Like Arnie, part of my framing of that was having seen some people hang on too long, you know, particularly in areas where intervention, you know, surgeons or others need to maintain their clinical credibility in order to lead other clinicians in that specialty. And I didn't want to be that surgeon who hung on too long and was operating when I shouldn't be. So I'm not sure I really answered your question. It did take a lot of personal reflection. As Bruder said, I think we try to do it with enough advance warning that the institution has plenty of time to identify potentially people from within that you've developed as leaders, or potentially looking for a different kind of leader from the outside. So I guess it's just where as far as coaching goes, I think helping people be self-reflective and self-aware and understanding what they're capable of and what they maybe aren't any longer capable of.
Chris, what are the sort of things that you've maybe seen either personally and other folks that have been sort of surprises during the transition from leadership? Any thoughts on that?
Well, yes, on the personal side of things, I think Bruder touched on this. You know, you want to have an exit strategy, and you also want to be sure that you've got your financial and healthcare and all sorts of things, all those ducks in a row. But the best laid plans, sometimes, you know, life throws other things at you. I've seen people as well, including myself, who've anticipated this is what I would do, this is how we would manage, this is whatever, and then life intervenes. And so on the personal side of things, it's the way life is, I think. You do your best to prepare and explore opportunities, particularly things that I think on the plus side of it, there's a lot of opportunities and a lot more discussion now in many institutions for senior leadership to take on a different role, something they hadn't had time for, had debated whether they would be interested in this kind of role within the university or school or hospital. But I think now there's more thought, and I was able to see that in some of my senior faculty when I came in as a young division chief and sort of see how they went forward and planned their lives. So I think you can roll with the punches with some of those surprises that life throws at you. On the professional side of things with the transition, the things that surprised me the most, well, it's really in two areas. One, where, you know, I did try always to get my ducks in order and make sure that, just like Bruder and Arnie have said, that, you know, you're leaving things in good hands. It's the right time to leave. It's time for new leadership. And yet there were still important issues, burning things, you know. It was somewhat of a surprise that when I wasn't the leader anymore, it was almost like someone had told me once that, you know, when you're a leader and there are all these things, it's like a big bucket of water and you're there and you're stirring it up and the water's coming up, and when you leave, it all just sort of calms down and you're not stirring up the... And it was sort of like, oh, yeah, that was an issue, but, you know, we're on it. And it's, so that was a bit of a surprise in some ways. And another part of that was that in sort of succession planning, which we've always talked about, very important to do succession planning early on. And I had really tried to do that at small sort of vice chairs in my own division in neonatology. And I tried to enable them and empower them to do their thing. And boy, when I left, some of them really rose to the occasion. I mean, more so than I realized that in fact, they were able to be more of a leader when I wasn't there and with someone new coming in. And so I shouldn't have been that surprised by it, but I was. And it certainly made me reflect on how I could have better prepared some of those leaders, including the people who took my position in the division, to be able to develop some of those skills and not to have to sort of be in my shadow, I guess. So those were some of the surprises I had.
Valerie, I'd be interested to hear of any, you know, sort of surprises that you might have found during your transition from leadership, or, you know, any mistakes that not necessarily you've made, but that you've seen other people make during transitions from leadership.
And I think the biggest or the saddest thing that I've noticed in supporting people for transitions, or even in fact making decisions on my own transitions, is the fact that some of the biggest struggles occur when individuals only define themselves by their title and their position. And I think that one of the most important things every leader has to develop is a really strong introspection on why exactly they enjoy being that leader and what exactly are their specific ideas and, you know, future thoughts on where they can take the group that they lead. And when they lose that second part of it and it only is focused on holding the title, it oftentimes in my experience is what gets to that they stayed in the job too long, because they just didn't have the drive or the ideas or the energy or the, you know, the innovativeness that you need as a leader to really move a group or a field forward. You know, we're talking as if the decisions to do the transitions are rested in you. And not always is that the case, of course. You can have a sudden transition where a new dean or a new CEO comes in and you're not going to be on my team and you're out the door. Having the introspection and the real thoughtfulness that has to happen, both to stay in a position and be ready for a quick transition should that actually end up happening to you, I think is really, really, really critical. And I don't think anybody said this yet, but part of that introspection is asking yourself, are you still enjoying all the roles and responsibilities that you have with this position? Because the minute you're no longer enjoying getting up each day and looking forward to the challenges of the day or the, you know, wonderful opportunities of the day or the next recruitment that you're working on, when that joy is gone, you're not going to be a very good leader. And so I think that, again, it gets back to that introspection. You know, you really have to be constantly thinking about, you know, what you're doing, why you're doing it, who you're doing it for, and then also what you are personally getting out of it. And if none of these things are congruent, then there's a problem. And I think you have to start thinking about where your wonderful qualities would be best projected next. And Bruder, I think, used the word purpose when he was describing his transition. You know, that is a really important word. You must feel purpose in your job and roles and responsibilities. And when that purpose is gone, then you need to move on. And as just as important, when you make that transition, what are going to be the things that give you purpose in the next phase? And I think some of Bob's comments around how he coaches individuals, that's really one of the most important things that you do to assist somebody transitioning, is helping them to understand where they can find their next purpose. And that will then add them the value that they need and will actually assist in making the transition, I think, as positive as it possibly can be. Because at the end of the day, when you leave a position of authority where you have power and the ability to make decisions, good or bad, that's a really infectious thing. And so to leave that, one needs to have something to feel good about each day. And that's where that whole concept of purpose comes in. And I think we could all do a better job, you know, thinking about and counseling people in that. Because when you get to the point where you're not doing a good job, you're in there too long, somebody needs to help you and you need to help define what your purpose is going to be for that transition.
Those are very good, Brelly. Thank you. I think a couple of tactical things that I could maybe just add is that I think once you've announced that you're transitioning from the leadership, the organization and the people tend to look at you differently than before the announcement. And I don't know that personally I was all that prepared for that. I mean, there's a little bit of what Chris was talking about, you know, sort of the relief of, well, I don't have to make that decision in 9 months because I'm not going to be here. But it's just important to realize that's going to happen. You're going to have that problem. And I think the other thing I wanted to make raise is the fact that once you've transitioned from the leadership role, it's good to be supportive of the person. But if you're leaving the organization, it's perhaps easier to do this. If you stay within the organization, it's important not to be constantly looking over their shoulder and to not be perceived as trying to give opinions on leadership issues. And that's very difficult to do, to stay in the organization and not do that. It can be done, but it takes a conscious effort to be a good person in terms of transitioning from the leadership and not trying to continue to have input into the leadership of that, of whatever it is, the division, the department, the college, the health system, whatever. Chris, did you have something you wanted to add?
Well, you just reminded me. I just had to say that one of the big surprises that I had, and that I've heard from others who've been in senior leadership positions and then they're done, is the quality and the quantity of your email. Suddenly, I hope you can all agree. I mean, it was just shocking that it went way down, but it also, the quality of it totally degraded, you know, all the spam walls and things like that. So, but it made me realize too, now, no longer was I part of all that, you know. I mean, it took a few months, you know, for it all to happen. But it's really a reflection on that outside, like you said, when you're gone or when you've announced, people, they change a great deal in how they treat you and so forth. And that was, it was a big surprise on how my email changed.
Well, I want to thank the council for really an interesting discussion. And I think a couple of the points are that when you become a leader, it's important to realize that you're not renting to own. You're just going to be in this position for a while. And you need to, you know, periodically look at it and say, do I have enough to give the organization that it's worth, you know, continuing in this position? Sometimes people say that should be done every 3 years, every 5 years, but there should at least, you know, be within yourself maybe a checkpoint at which you say, let me be honest with myself. What are my plans for the next 3 to 5 years? And do I have the energy and the wherewithal to continue? And if it's not, you know, have a life outside of that leadership life, of the title that you have, of the position that you have, that you can go on in the world of academics and your personal world, whatever, and pay attention to that life. And that makes that transition a lot easier. So thank you all very much.
Thank you for joining us for today's discussion. If you have a question for our council or have a future topic suggestion, please connect with us at pediatricinsight.com. The Child Health Advisory Council is comprised of a diverse group of emeritus deans, department chairs, division chiefs, and child health executives recognized for their leadership contributions in academic pediatrics and child health. The CHAC's impact is further bolstered by council specialty advisors who are active current national leaders in each of the subspecialties in pediatrics. Collectively, the 30 plus members of the CHAC bring unmatched wisdom and experience to career physicians' executive search and leadership development endeavors for its clients. Our council members include the following physicians: Bruder Stapleton, Christine Gleason, Craig Hillemeyer, Renee Jenkins, Danielle LaRocque Arena, Valerie Opapari, Bruce Rubin, Robert Sawin, and Arnold Strauss. To view our council members' bios, please visit careerphysician.com and click on the Child Health Advisory Leadership tab.